With that, we'll move to item number five on our agenda. We'll receive a department fiscal update from Deputy Secretary Scott Simpson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. I want to provide you a little bit of an update on where we are at as we close out our FY24 calendar year, or excuse me, fiscal year, and move into FY25. This is the time where we start putting together budgets, start talking about some of those fiscal issues that that we run into over a given year, and this is also when we talk about if we are going to adjust fees in any way. We start to look at those now so that we can take care of that in September. It's kind of the traditional time that we look at those. So anyway, we wanted to give you a little bit of a background on where we're at with a few different things. First of all, we want to start talking about our recent fee history and when we have adjusted fees and what some of those impacts have been. As it pertains to revenues, we're going to talk about not only license revenues, but some of the federal pots of money that we're able to access. We also want to spend some time on cost increases. As you all know in your personal lives, there's been significant cost increases. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's housing, gas, groceries, so on and so forth. We're going to cover some of those cost increases that we've seen at the department. And then we're going to go through some of the cost control measures that the department has taken to maybe react to some of those cost increases, as well as some of our revenue streams. Just want to start with a little bit of background. Can you turn that just a little bit for me, Chris?
Sure.
Thank you. Just want to talk a little bit about where the money comes from and where the money goes. And I'll break this out by parks and recreation revenue and expenses, and then again as wildlife recreation, or as wildlife revenue and expenses. As you can see, fiscal year 24, Parks and Recreation Division generated revenue of about $50 million. When we talk about where that revenue comes from, you can see 51% of the revenue is generated by fees, by camping fees, park entrance licenses, day use, some of those kinds of things. We also receive about $7 million worth of federal funds on the park side. There's some miscellaneous revenue that comes into the department. Primarily that is some of the concession fees that we see from Custer State Park and Lewis and Clark and some other smaller portions. A small amount that comes into the snowmobile trails program through sale of licenses and taxes and fees on snowmobiles. And then the final chunk is about the general funds, $2.5 million $3.8 million worth of general funds comes into the parks operations budget. That money is available to us to be spent on seasonal salaries. That's what we use it on, primarily seasonal salaries. And then there's about $2.5 million that are used for the bond payments to pay off those bonds that we have at Custer State Park and Good Earth and some other places. That's really an in and out number. It's a bookkeeping issue where the general fund, we're allowed to spend the dollars, but the department actually reimburses the general funds. So it's a net neutral. On the expenses side, about $51.5 million worth of expenses. That's the big number, right? We had $50 million worth of revenue, $51.5 million worth of expenses. So we actually had more expenses than we had revenue. How do we cover that? We've got reserves. We take advantage of those reserves. We hold them in place every year so that when we do run into these kinds of issues, we can make sure that we don't see an impact of service to our customers. We can't do that forever. We know that. Most years, we're a break-even business at best. We try to balance those expenses and revenues as best we can. We can control the expenses. We don't control the revenue nearly as much as we'd like to think we do. It's really weather dependent. It's participation dependent. We see most of our expenses on the park side go towards maintenance and operations. It's $37 million, 72% of the budget. That's for Jeff and his folks to operate all of the parks that we have in the state, do some of those minor repairs. And a big chunk of that is obviously labor expense. We do have about $11 million worth of infrastructure maintenance. New development is another roughly $2 million, and water-based budget is $1 million. That's our capital development budget on the park side. It's broken out into those three categories. And we have a lot of things to take care of in our parks. As we moved around for these commission meetings, you've seen a lot of this infrastructure, and you know that it's in good shape, but it takes a lot to keep it in good shape. And we always have a list of things to do, and we don't necessarily always have the funding to get to everything that it is that we need to do. And we're going to talk about that as we move through this. On the wildlife side, $66.5 million worth of revenue on the wildlife side. $12.1 million, or about 18%, comes from resident license sales. $19.5 million from non-resident license sales, or about 29%. Federal aid accounts for almost $28 million on the wildlife side. That's going to be a big part of what we talk about as we move forward here. That 42% has grown in the last few years, and it's really allowed us to bridge the gap between revenue and expenses. We've been able to build some of that federal dollar into our budgets, into our operations, and continue to move forward. You also see that there's $5.4 million worth of habitat stamp fees. We do account for these differently because they do need to be spent differently. They need to be spent on habitat projects, on public land, access projects on public land. So we do account for those a little bit differently, but it does create part of our revenue. And then you see we do have $1.8 million worth of ADC funding and some other miscellaneous revenues on the wildlife side. On the expenses side, 69.2. So again, about a $2.7 million difference. And again, covered by some of those funds that we retain each year to make sure that we've got enough to operate on, given those somewhat unreliable revenue sources that we work with. 31% of that, almost $70 million, goes towards habitat and access. That's obviously been an important part of everything that we do in the department is to focus on habitat and access. So almost a third of our budget is spent there. Wildlife management and fish management, 15% each, about another 30%. And then you can see that another 30% is spent on law enforcement, licensing, education, and administration. All of those things that kind of make up the administrative side of what we do, along with the law enforcement, make up 30% of our budget. Support services, that's a little bit of an odd one. That is the non-cash transfers that we use in state government. An example of that would be the Mina Lake dam that we repaired up there. I believe that price tag was about $4.2 million. We actually borrowed the money from the Department of Public Safety and are paying that back over 8 years. That payment, I believe, is about $600,000, if I remember right. We take that money and we just basically transfer it within state government, and that's where you see support services. Any of those interstate transfers, that's what makes up that category. And then capital development, obviously much smaller on the wildlife side, not near as much infrastructure, but definitely buildings that need to be taken care of and expenses that go along with that. Talk a little bit about the fee history. Wildlife Division, most recent fees, or last time that the fees were adjusted by this commission, the fees that you have authority over, was 2014. It was a pretty much across the board fee increase from what I remember. It was estimated to generate about $3 million worth of revenue. At that time, we also started to charge for preference points. That was back in 2014. $5 on the resident side, $10 on the non-resident side. Also in 2014, the legislature increased the non-refundable application fee for bighorn sheep, got that right today, Kevin, elk, mountain goat, and that moved from $5 to $10 in 2014. In 2017, the legislature also increased the agent fee. So I walk into a convenience store, I buy my hunting fishing license, The agent is allowed to charge me a fee. That used to be $2 and $4, and the legislature raised that from $4 and $8. $4 residents, $8 non-residents. But the money is dedicated. It isn't just revenue that comes to the department. It's revenue that comes to the department that's split equally between our animal damage control and our wildlife damage management program. Then in 2022, we saw the habitat stamp move through the legislature. That created about $5.5 million worth of income for the department. But as I said earlier, we're only allowed to use that for certain things, and that's got to go towards that public access and public habitat improvement. On the park side, we did do a fee increase in 2019, both camping and entrance licenses. That was estimated to generate about $6 million worth of revenue. When we spoke to the commission, when we spoke to the legislature, spoke to the appropriations committee, we told them that that money is going to go towards infrastructure. We had a backlog of, I don't even remember what the number was. It was 50 million-ish in backed up preventive maintenance, whether that be road repair or facilities that needed a new roof or whatever it might have been. We had a list of things that we weren't able to get to, and we said that when that increase hits the Parks Division budget, we will dedicate those funds to that repairing infrastructure as best we can, knowing that over time, the cost of operating parks is going to increase, and we are going to have to pull that money from capital development into the operations side of the business. And so we've seen that happen over time. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but yeah, 2019, both park entrance in licenses and the camping fees were increased. So how did, just a little bit about how those fee increases were actually what we saw on the ground. If we want to start with the blue lines, that's the Wildlife Division. Going back to FY14, you can see we were about $27.8 million worth of revenue. Again, I said that the targeted increases were going to generate about $3 million each year based on the license sales that we had at the time. You can see that we saw that increase up until FY16. We were right at about $3 million worth of increase. That worked for a while, but then you can see that it started to back down again. License sales started to back off a little bit in FY17, 18, and 19. Then we saw FY20 come in. All of a sudden, you see an increase to $33.3 million. That's when the habitat stamp started to hit. We got about a half year's worth of revenue off the habitat stamp. First full year was FY21, $35.4 million. So as you see in FY21, 22, 23, and 24, we saw increased revenue on the wildlife side. We started to sell more license, so we saw the full benefit of that increase back in 2014, finally. But we also saw the $5 million worth of habitat stamp come in. You can, with an estimated $3 million in increased fees and about $5.5 million worth of habitat stamp, that's $8.5 million. And you can see from FY14 to FY24 on the wildlife side, we increased just about, what, $11 million? Anything in between that is going to be increased license sales. So that's a great thing, right? Anytime we've got more people out there participating, that's a positive. So you can see that those fee increases on the wildlife side did about what we thought they were going to do. On the park side, the gold bars, probably go back to FY19, which is the last, that's when we did the fee increase. Again, that was estimated to generate about $6 million based on the use that we had at the time. We got about a half year of that in FY20. Then FY21 hit. Those were the COVID years, right? The end of the 20 into 21. We saw a spike of increased use in our park system. And we saw that jump up to $28.7 million, more than what we anticipated from a increased revenue stream. But since then, it has started to decline, and we knew it would. Those numbers were probably not sustainable as people got back into doing what it is they do, going to baseball games, soccer games, whatever it is during the summer. We've seen that start to back off just a little bit, but it's holding steady at around that $25 million. And I think, at least the first half of this year, we're kind of seeing the same thing. We're about on track for that. So again, if we look back to FY19 when the fee increase was implemented, to FY24, $6 million, that's about what we thought it was going to be. So it worked the way that it was anticipated. General funds, as I explained before, we do get a little bit of general funds into the department. And when I say the department, we get a little bit of about $200,000 that go towards the Division of Administration. That's Chris Peterson and his folks. They have some discretionary spending authority over $200,000 worth of general funds. 3.8 of that comes, in addition to that, 3.8 comes into the Parks Department and Parks Division, and they're able to spend that again on seasonal salaries. Wildlife Division receives no general funds. At no time does the Wildlife Division ever receive general funds. That, again, FY24 total is about $4 million. General funds, if you look at our $129 million budget, general funds make up about 3% of that total Game Fish and Parks budget. This is the history of our general funds. Those of you that were listening to former Governor Dugard this morning, he talked about some of the budget cuts that we went through. In FY11, we received $2.8 million worth of general funds. Due to some of those cuts, in FY12, we saw about $2.2 million. Those general funds have increased ever since then. Basically, what happens is the general fund appropriation to the Game Fish and Parks, in particular the Division of Administration and the Division of Parks, basically goes up by salary policy. If salary policy for all in-state employees goes up by 3%, our general funds go up by 3%. So you see the jump from FY23 to FY24, and maybe just a little bit in FY22 to 23, salary policy for state employees was increased. The state decided that they needed to get competitive to catch up some salaries that have been lagging behind, compete with other states, some of our surrounding neighbors. And we've seen a little bit of a jump there. We've seen it go up to $3.8 million in FY24, $4 million in FY24. But again, our labor costs have gone up substantially. Our general funds have gone up a little bit, and we want to talk about that. The other big funding source that we take advantage of is our federal dollars, in particular Pittman Robinson, which is the excise tax on guns and ammunition, and the Dingell Johnson dollars, which is the excise tax on fishing tackle and some boats and those kinds of things. You see Dingell Johnson, the gold bar there, stayed pretty steady over the last 20 years. You know, it floats somewhere around that $4 to $5 million. We use every single nickel of that every year. There's no doubt about that. And when we saw these price increases come our way, the cost of labor, the cost of goods, we haven't been able to do a lot with the federal dollar appropriation on the Dingell Johnson side. But the blue bar, you can see the Pittman Robertson, that's increased substantially. Since 2020, when we saw about $10 million, we're up to $19.8 million in 2023. What that's allowed us to do is to shift some of our expenses over to the federal side and been able to bridge the gap again between some of our revenues and some of our expenses and take advantage of those federal dollars and make sure that the public doesn't notice that a loss in service. We're able to continue to move forward with every program that we have, make sure that the people are there to answer the phones at the front desk, law enforcement is on the ground, all those kinds of things. And interesting, I should bring up law enforcement. Law enforcement is one of the activities that isn't eligible to be funded with Pittman Robertson dollars. The one thing I want to mention here, you can see in FY24, we're estimating about $17.7 million worth of Pittman Robertson dollars headed to the department. That's the best estimate that we have right now, provided us by the feds. That's a decrease of, you know, about $2 million, $2.1 million. That'll be likely less dollars that the department will have be able to spend. We're guessing that it's going to continue to probably go down and level off at some point. It isn't probably going back down to 4 million, but it probably isn't going to stay at 20 million either. So we've got to find the sweet spot in there to figure out how much we can spend of those dollars, how much we can allocate, how much we can budget. But we know that right now that it's looking like it's going to be reduced. I want to talk a little bit about cost increases. What inflation has done to all of us, whether it be our personal lives or business lives over the last 10 years. Starting in 2014, for the next 7 years, we saw about a 10% rate of inflation if we put all those years together. Over the last 4 years and into 2025, we've seen about a 20% increase in inflation. Go back to when we did those fee increases, 2014, we were able to survive a lot of that stuff because our costs remained about the same. What has really impacted us is the last three and a half to four years in that increased inflation. Found a little bit of a quote here that Chris Hull is familiar with. Inflation is when you pay $15 for a $10 haircut you used to get for $5 when you had hair. Thanks for being a visual aid, C. Hull. Some of the examples that we've seen from some of our cost increases, those small brown cabins that you see out in the parks, in 2019, to put one of those cabins fully in place cost us just short of $28,000. Today's dollars, it's about $43,000 to put the same unit on the ground. We've seen increases 54% in the cost of concrete. Asphalt has gone up 20% and 30%. Gravel, $21 to $43 a ton, 105% increase. Something that Jeff's familiar with, and John, I know you are, with equipment costs. Just the cost of a mower went from $15,000 to $21,000, 40% increase in 4 years. The walk-in area program that we're all so proud of and provide so much access for some of our users, it's increased over the last 5 years from 3 million to 4.1 million. And the cost of a pickup, Tommy, the wildlife division buys a lot of trucks. We got a lot of COs. We got a lot of habitat crew that are out there, fish folks. The wildlife division buys their own pickups. And that the cost of that has gone from $29,000 to $46,000. Some of the other things that we spend money on as a department, doesn't matter, anything from fencing supplies to computers to ATVs to whatever it might be, all the costs that we incur have continued to go up. One of the examples that I had the parks folks work on, when we add up our electricity, garbage, water, and sewer use in the park and what those contracts cost us, from 2019 to 2024, we went from $2 million to $2.7 million in just 5 years. So $700,000 additional to just provide those basic services in the park. Our central services billings, in Pier there, we're in an office. We have to pay rent to the Bureau of Administration. We pay insurance. We pay our electricity and our heat. We pay computer services. We pay BIT for every employee that we've got. We're charged a monthly fee for them to have access to email and telephone and all those good things. That cost has gone from in 2019, it was $5.9 million to $8.2 million in 2024. Significant increase for just some of those basic services. Talk a little bit about FTE. We have lived with about the same number of FTE for the last 10 years. There's been a slight increase, but it's been very slight. And what we've really done in the last couple of years is taken advantage of the FTE that we have. We are utilizing the FTE that we've been that are budgeted for both wildlife and parks. And we're finally getting to a place where we've got about 584 FTE, and we're utilizing 574, 579. We've got the people in place to fill the positions that we've got. But we need them. I mean, you look at those two, the from FY 2014 to the last year that we've got information for. Our camping units have gone up 60,000 camping units a year. Park visitations are up 1.5 million from what it was 10 years ago. And our habitat and access, we were spending, you know, just over 16 million. We're up to 21 million now. It takes people to do these jobs. And we're happy to have getting close to a full staff. But we haven't grown FTE. It's been very minimal over the last 10 years. But with the increased utilization of FTE, you know, having we used 579, we've also got an increased labor expense. You can see from FY22 to FY24, it's our annual expense is about $10 million more for our labor. That's a good thing. We're the last couple of years in particular, the state has made an effort to, like I said before, get more competitive, especially with some of those other state agencies that we compete with, some other, you know, whether it be Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska. South Dakota has done a really good job of trying to bump up some of those salaries and remain competitive with some of those other states, but it has led to a significant increase. And the way that we've been able to manage some of this is through our federal allocation. You can see that in just the last few years, we've gone from $5.5 million spent on salaries using federal dollars to almost $10 million in FY24. And that's by design. In particular, the last year, we challenged our folks. We said we need to make sure that we're coding the way that we need to be coding and make sure that we're spending those federal dollars in the right manner. And we were targeting a couple million dollars, and our folks exceeded that. They hit it hard. We're right at $3.2 million worth of salary that has been spent in the federal arena. But with the increased salaries, we've obviously seen some benefits to that. Our turnover rates have really gone down over the last few years. Most recently, FY24, our latest numbers that we have show a turnover rate of 6.1%. But even before that, when we started to see that salary policy kick in, 7.7%. And the red bar that you see above, that's the state average, 12.5%, 14%, up to 15%. Game Fish and Parks has traditionally done better than the rest of state government, but we've really seen that number go down and the benefit to the department of retaining employees, not training them up so that they, you know, move over to Minnesota and become a biologist over there or a CO over there. That's really been beneficial for the department. We've done some cost reductions as well over the last few years. We've reduced our capital asset purchases. So that's tractors, mowers, computers, anything that is a tangible asset for the department. We've cut those by $1.8 million. We've, as I mentioned, the vehicle replacements, another $650,000. Pre-approved overtime down about $100,000. We've delayed some of that park infrastructure for about to the tune of about $4 million, but that's not going away. That's coming back. Sooner or later, we're going to need to get to that. Some other short-term things that we've done, we reduced some intern positions. We're using staff instead of contractual services. You've heard about a couple of those projects over the last few months. We've reduced our seasonal labor use during those shoulder seasons, out-of-state travel, and then, again, we've delayed some more smaller repair projects. We've held some positions. We haven't filled those immediately, knowing that during maybe the winter time, we aren't maybe as busy as other times of the year. We've held some of those positions and saved that salary. But the biggest thing that we've done is reduce the license dollar use by increasing our use of federal funds. And you saw that in the labor side, but it's everything that we do. Everything that's eligible, we're making sure that we're using that increase in federal dollars to help us bridge our budget gap. Just in Tom's side, the wildlife personal services expenses used from federal sources, just on Tom's side, you can see that we spent about $3 million more in FY24 than FY23. So that's really helped us manage that salary policy that has been given out to state employees. We've been able to cover that gap a lot with the increase in federal dollars. So to kind of wrap this up, hunting and fishing licenses last increased in 2014, park entrance licenses and camping fees in 2019. These adjustments increased revenue, But increased participation in those activities also increased revenue. However, the increasing costs, primarily inflationary and the labor costs, have consumed the additional revenue over time. We've made some of those spending adjustments and taken advantage of increases in federal aid to make sure that we maintain those programs and services and the public isn't impacted. The federal apportionments that we get, those Dingell-Johnson and Pittman-Robertson, they're highly variable. We've seen that over the last 10 years. And some of the cost control measures that that we put in place aren't sustainable, whether it's just pushing off maintenance, whatever it is. We can't do that forever. So as a result, we're going to be reviewing all of our fee structures as we move into the next round of meetings. And this is what that timeline looks like. Obviously, today we're presenting to the commission. On July 24th, we've got a meeting scheduled with the commission's subcommittee, budget subcommittee, where we can talk about any of those potential changes. We can look at it, line by line and say, yeah, this should stay the same. This should go up. This should go down, whatever that might be. But we'll have that meeting on July 24th. When we have an idea of where the subcommittee would like to go, we'll share that information with the commission on August 15th. We'll make sure that the subcommittee gets the information out to the rest of the commissioners. So then, if there is something to move forward at that point in time, we would bring a fee package, to our September meeting, September 5th. Starting September 5th through October 3rd, 28 days, we would have public comment on any adjustments that might happen, with finalization happening in October. And if any fee adjustments are deemed necessary, they would be finalized October 3rd and move forward to the Interim Rules Committee on October 22nd. And then pending Interim Rules Committee approval, that any fee adjustments would then be implemented on December 15th of 2024. So basically the new license year on the wildlife side be this January 1st likely for any parks increases. So, Madam Chair, that's what I have. Sorry it took so long, but there's a lot of information to cover. I'd sure be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Deputy Secretary Simpson? Scott, I do have one. When you were talking about the Pittman-Robertson dollars and the anticipated amount being maybe around $17 million, when do we typically know what that will be?
We will have a much better idea come September. We'll get a much better estimate in September sometime. But we won't know for sure what those will be until that November, December timeframe, if I'm remembering correctly. That's when we would get our initial apportionment and they would say, here's what we're going to give you for the first three quarters. They retain a quarter that is paid probably in February or March, but in the November, December is when we would know for sure what that dollar amount is going to be.
And then just a follow-up, we're kind of seeing those dollars go down a bit. You mentioned they may stabilize. Are we seeing that on a statewide level? Is that a trend we're seeing, or is it just us?
Madam Chair, the trend is likely more the national trend. We're impacted more by what happens around us because it's guns and ammunition, right? And we're a very small portion of that. What we do see is great participation rates. I mean, we have one of the highest participation rates in the United States for hunting and fishing. We're top 1, 2, 3 in both categories, I believe. From a percentage of residents that fish. So we've got great participation rates, but where that big bucket of money is actually collected by the feds from the manufacturers and then distributed to the states based on a formula that has to do with license sales, land mass, shoreline, or the Dingell-Johnson side of things. There's an equation that they use to redistribute that money back out to the states. So really it matters more what happens in the other areas of the state, who's buying those, or other areas of the nation, who's buying that and who's contributing that to a greater extent than what South Dakota is going to contribute.
Okay, thank you. And I meant national level, so thank you for catching that. Any additional questions or comments for Deputy Secretary Simpson?